This morning our service is based somewhat upon the worship workshop we had several weeks ago, and it's going to have elements built into it that we learned on that particular weekend, and I gather Jim will be coordinating here and calling on others to help him, and I'll just turn the service over to Jim at this point.
I'm not sure how many of you were able to be at the workshop the end of January. At the end of the workshop, we had four groups, and each group was to come up with sort of the basis of a service. And this is kind of a direction that we're hoping to go more in the future, not for all our services, but for some of them. And I think the Sunday Service Committee has periodically encouraged members of the fellowship to think about services and what they would like to see, and I suppose more in the way of suggestions of speakers and that sort of thing. But I think we want to expand on that a little bit and actually have services more designed by our members occasionally. And we have had this in the past. We've had a few people. Sandra Allen comes to mind, and there have been others who will take a service. And this is more or less an invitation from me to you folks. I'm sort of the incoming Sunday Service Committee Chair. A bit of an invitation from me to you to consider what you might like to do for a Sunday service and develop something, and occasionally, perhaps once every month or two, we could have that kind of a service. So this, what we're going to do today is kind of a, let's say, a precursor to that. We've got a couple of the committees that were involved, not all four. We're going to have Ingrid give us some music that she'd like to share with us for inspirational purposes. And Joanne, in the middle of this, is going to quote from one of her favorite books. So I'm going to turn it over to the two of them, Ingrid first, and we'll have some music, and then Joanne will come up and share.
So I wanted to introduce the background to this piece that I chose because I chose two inspirational pieces that were inspirational to me in my life. And so one of them has a very serious side to it, and that's the first one. I thought we should get that one out of the way. And then the second one is sort of a joyous one. And it's from a different culture, too, which I thought was very important. One of the elements that we talked about in our workshop was to be more inclusive of other cultures, of other approaches to spirituality, and weave those things into our services. So I was sort of thinking of that when I chose these two. So the second one that will be at the end of the service after Joanne's piece will be based on Brazil, Brazilian music. This one is North American. Not only is it North American, it is from Regina. And not only is it from Regina, but it's from the Prairie Pride Chorus. And it was written by our own David McIntyre. We received funds from the Saskatchewan Arts Board for David to do what were called watershed stories. My Australian accent is coming through because I'm nervous. Watershed stories. And he based these songs on interviewing all of us in the choir about our own experience, and not necessarily all pain, but in this particular piece, it's definitely about the pain that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and queer people go through and have gone through. Much worse in the past, but it has not finished. It has not finished. Up until I left work a year and a half ago, it has not finished. So, it's better. People are, perhaps those who are very unhealthy in their attitude about LGBTQ issues, tend to keep quieter. But they have other ways. So, anyway, this piece is called I Did Not Speak My Heart. And it was. I also find music to be very healing, so that's why I wanted to do the music part. It has helped me a lot come to terms with who I am and heal a lot of loss and pain, and also heighten the joy in my life. So I love singing, and I love music, most music. So this piece, though, when we first sang it, all of us had a hard time singing it because we were crying the whole way through. The words are very powerful. I could not speak my heart. We could not talk about who we really were. We could not talk about whom we loved and express that love in a free and open and dignified way. So, I didn't break down. We're going to hear from Joanne now.
Well, good morning again. With all our multiple jobs, there's a little to-ing and fro-ing here, so give you time to think in between pieces. All right. Well, I've chosen to do a reading from the book called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And I think anybody in my age group is certainly familiar with him. I'm not sure if people that are younger are, but that's okay. He was born in Lebanon in 1883, I think, and was a poet, a philosopher, an artist, and very inspiring in his writings. He spent about 40 years in Lebanon and eventually moved to the United States for the last years of his life. And this book was published in 1923, and it was a collection of stories that he wrote. He considers it his greatest accomplishment, actually, or he did. And he said it took him 4 years before he delivered the manuscript. He wanted to keep it. He wanted to be very sure that every word was the very best he had to offer. So I gave this particular book to my mother in 1971, and I was unpacking a box and went, "Oh, The Prophet. Oh, how nice." So before I knew that we were doing this service. So anyway, the story I've chosen, or the, I'll call it story, is called Reason and Passion. And in most of these, there's a priestess or a priest speaking to a gathering of people in a small town in Lebanon. And the priestess spoke again and said, "Speak to us of reason and passion." And he answered, saying, "Your soul is oftentimes a battlefield upon which your reason and your judgment wage war against your passion and your appetite. Would that I could be the peacemaker in your soul, that I might turn the discord and the rivalry of your elements into oneness and melody. But how shall I, unless you yourselves be also the peacemakers, nay, the lovers of your elements? Your reason and your passion are the rudder and sails of your seafaring soul. If either of your sails or your rudder be broken, you can but toss and drift, or else be held at a standstill in mid-seas. For reason, ruling alone, is a force confining, and passion, unattended, is a flame that burns to its own destruction. Therefore, let your soul exalt your reason to the height of passion, that it may sing. And let it direct your passion with reason, that your passion may live through its own daily resurrection, and like the phoenix, rise above its own ashes. I would have you consider your judgment and your appetite, even as you would two loved guests in your house. Surely you would not honor one guest above the other. For he who is more mindful of one loses the love and faith of the other, or both. Among the hills, when you sit in the cool shade of the white poplars, sharing the peace and serenity of distant fields and meadows, then let your heart say in silence, 'God rests in reason.' And when the storm comes and the mighty wind shakes the forest and thunder and lightning proclaim the majesty of the sky, then let your heart say in awe, 'God moves in passion.' And since you are a breath in God's sphere and a leaf in God's forest, you too should rest in reason and move in passion." Thank you. I think, well, I've already forgotten whether Jim said we'd have time for others to share readings they find particularly inspirational once we have a second piece of music. But, yeah, I think we have time for that. Thanks.
While we're consulting and whatnot here, I'd just like to reiterate that if you've got a favorite reading in the Gray Book that you particularly like, we'll have time to share that. And if you would like to come up and read that when we're done with the presentation that we're doing right now. So I think Joanne's just about organized, so I'm going to... Oh, yeah, so I'm going to have Ingrid come up here and explain.
So I thought, again, I'd introduce first. I kind of complicated things this morning by having forgotten the actual CD for this one in the player. So Joanne very kindly searched it on the web, and we can't get exactly the same piece, but that's okay. The same artist has similar elements, so it'll be a discovery for all of us. And I think the title of this service today was Exploring the Mystery, something like that. So that's what this is. This particular piece will be not new to me, but it'll be a surprise. So Celso Machado is the artist from Brazil. He was born in 1953, and he's a Brazilian world music guitarist, percussionist, and multi-instrumentalist who lives in Gibson's Bay, actually, in British Columbia. For over 40 years, he has performed on concert stages throughout Brazil, Western Europe, Canada, as well as the United States. Apart from his outstanding guitar skills, he is specifically known for the ability to produce bird call imitations using wind and percussion instruments. Brazilian music is multicultural. What I love about Celso's music is that it represents world music, or the epitome of music fusion, which has arisen out of the various blends of classical, European, African, Portuguese, and indigenous influences. There is less division in Brazilian music between classical and jazz and folk. While Celso's music is rooted in Brazilian rhythmic and melodic styles, it also reflects his incurable fascination with other world music traditions. He finds similarities between the music of southern Italy, northeast Brazil, the Egyptian, and I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'll try, Maksoum, and the Brazilian Baia rhythm, the Moroccan Gnaw rhythm, and a Foxe and Samba. Celso incorporates these influences into his own sound, his own unique contribution to the ongoing evolution of music. Celso represents a true openness to multiculturalism, one of the principles of the Unitarian Fellowship. In addition, his love of sound, and particularly his love of nature, blend into amazing patterns of rhythm, instruments, and lyrics. In the piece you will hear, and all his pieces are very creative, and you don't know where it's going. It really is a mysterious journey. He uses his body. He uses bottles with water. He uses every instrument imaginable. Celso alone is a force of nature. He performs, composes, publishes, records, teaches. And I first heard him at the Regina Folk Festival about 10 years ago, and I was mesmerized with what he was able to do and the joy in his music. Thank you. Parazula. Thank you.
didn't seem to want to end there, though. It must have to turn the page or the CD over or something. Have any of you been able to identify a reading that you'd like to read out of the gray booklet? If not, that's all right. But good, come forward.
When I was in Kingston years ago, living there, I purchased my own copy of this book when I first became a Unitarian in the early 90s. And I remember at the time when I first got it, I went through the readings at the back to figure out what I agreed with and what I didn't agree with. That's kind of how you start these sorts of new adventures in life. One of the ones just on the very first page of the opening words for services is one that I remember way back then looking at and thinking that this is one that I really should take to heart. And it's not a theme that is new or unusual. It's basically just about living in the moment. But that is something that it's good for me to strive to do. And when Alan was talking about the movie, there you are, behind me, was talking about The Testament of Youth, I saw that movie as well. And I really liked it because it's a historical piece. And I recently watched Midnight in Paris. I don't know if anyone's seen that. It's a movie from a few years ago. I originally watched it because Rachel McAdams is in that movie, and she is a distant cousin of mine, so I try to watch all of her movies. Her family, years ago, lived on the farm where I grew up, so that's my connection with her. She doesn't know I exist, but I have met her grandfather, so, and her grandfather is very nice. So anyway, and in that movie, Midnight in Paris, there's a couple that are, they are about to get married, but they're not having the best, it's a struggle, their relationship, but they're moving towards getting married. And the husband, or husband-to-be, is a novelist, and he writes, or he's an aspiring novelist, and he wants to write historical fiction. And so he's kind of living in the past a little bit. And the bride-to-be is not really interested in that. She's more interested in living in the present. So this has caused a bit of a problem, I think, in their connection. But in the movie, the man ends up getting in a 1920s car. They go to Paris just for a vacation, and he gets into a 1920s car, and it takes him back into the past. So he has part of the movie is actually him living in the past. And he's very enthralled by the past, and it's interested in it, and more or less wants to live there. So he goes from the present to the past a few times. And when he's in the past at one point, he meets a woman there in the 1920s who is romanticizing her past, which, of course, is prior to the 1920s. And so then the two of them go into the past a little bit further back. And I think sort of the conclusion that that this gentleman comes to is that we can romanticize the past. And what seems romantic to one person may not be romantic to another person. And so him living in the past, he realized, I think, to some degree, was an avoidance of the present and an avoidance of the relationship that he was trying to make work with, his bride-to-be and so on. Anyway, it was all a little bit complicated. If you want a better explanation, watch the movie. It was good. So anyway, the reading is number 419, and it just is about living in the present. It says, "Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence. The bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day."
Thank you. Any others? David?
This is not a reading. This is a movie recommendation.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Ingrid, because this one's about Brazil. About a few years ago, we saw a fantastic movie about Brazilian music, and it was showing us the different regional musics of Brazil, and it's very, you know, really expansive, really interesting music, like folk music and dance of all kinds. Anyway, it's called Moro no Brasil, and I think it means something like Folkways of Brazil or something. I could not buy this CD. I couldn't find it, but it's out there somewhere. It'd be a great one. Music dancer.
You might try YouTube. There's lots of things there, but some not. I think it was an excellent suggestion, and maybe the committee could consider a service this fall called Favorite Readings. And from now till break up in the summer, we could have a reminder in the bulletin for each of us to maybe search our own libraries at home for favorite stories or favorite readings, which we could set aside in preparation for that service. And you might have a longer reading, which would be, you know, one per person, or a person might have several shorter readings that they would like to fit as part of that. There could be a number of services, and there might be a wealth of things in our congregation here that would be suitable, and we could have several such services. I'll also take note, Ingrid, as perhaps you have too, that Justin Trudeau will be the first Prime Minister to walk in the Toronto Pride Parade this June. I had a good friend who was often at the front of that parade for many years before he passed away. I think of him now.